2 Corinthians chapter 8 and then verse 9. You see it? Is it underlined? Yes. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what?
Rich.
Was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, right? That you through his poverty, or becoming poverty, you could say, might be what?
Rich.
Rich. Now to me this sounds an awful lot like atonement, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, when he was made sick so that you could be healed, he was made sin that you could be made righteous, he was made poor so that you could be rich. And if you look up these words, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, if you look up that word rich, it actually means rich, right? It's not some kind of spiritual thing, it's a word that's used for rich people. You know, and they didn't mince words back then. They knew when someone was rich and someone wasn't, right? They have words for the poor person. It's called poor. See, they're not trying to, and people get confused over this stuff because all of a sudden it's in the Bible and rich must mean, well, Jesus was spiritually rich, right? He was spiritually rich so that you could be made spiritually rich. Well, you know, if words mean anything, which I think they do, right? He was rich. Does your Bible say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can we get this straight? Jesus was rich. Now people don't want like that. No, Jesus was poor. He had nowhere to lay his heads. And when he was born, you know, in an animal shelter down by the river. He wasn't rich. Well, hang on, this is where we're going today. I hope you're all right with this. We are going to talk about the birth of Jesus. Are you okay with this?
Yes.
You know, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. For whose sake? For our sake, atonement, he became poor. So he took upon himself poverty, that you, through his doing that, becoming poor, would be rich. So what should the end result of this scripture be? Me rich, you rich. If you receive what Jesus did for you, why isn't this in the gospel? If you receive what Jesus did for you, he bore your poverty and you would be rich. Thank God. So who am I now? I'm rich. Say, I am rich. Now the problem here is, and I've heard this over and over, I've heard this by some of my favorite preachers. Well, they would say that Jesus was made poor when he came to the earth. And I understand he was in heaven before, right? But when he came to the earth, that's when he was made poor. If that's the case, then he would have had to live an atoning life. Meaning his whole life would have been paying for sin. Right? That can't be the way it is. And yet they'll say it over, well, he came, he was in heaven, and you know it's nice there, and so when he came down here, he was obviously poor. Look, the manger. He went from heaven to manger. That must be it. He was made poor for your sakes. But if you do that, it takes out the atoning quality of this verse of scripture. You see that? I'll tell you that verse of scripture. Aren't you interested now? Philippians. I like to flip over there. Philippians chapter 2. This is good for you because you will hear it if you haven't heard it yet. It's in a lot of people's doctrine, right? That when Jesus came, he was poor. He had nowhere to lay his head. He was in a manger, right? All of these things, he obviously was poor. Well, we're going to get into that. There's no possible way that he was poor when he came here. But people don't have a place in their head for Jesus to be rich. You understand that? Because if it was okay for Jesus to be rich, what about you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why it has to be spiritually rich, so you could be spiritually rich. But if he was financially rich, then you can be financially rich in the gospel, in the atonement. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why we're going here. Philippians chapter 2. Did you flip there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 5 here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, you understand that? Mm-hmm. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You understand this? This is where people get that. They go, hey, Jesus was highly exalted before, and then when he came into the earth, he found himself as a man. Mm-hmm. Did it say he found himself as a poor man?
No.
See, poverty's a curse, and he would have had to been cursed. Do you understand? Was Jesus cursed?
No.
If he atoned through his life, he would have had sin on him, and he would have had a curse on him. Was Jesus walking around with the curse, bearing the curse all of his life? Are you kidding me? It's not possible. He fulfilled all righteousness.
Yes.
So he must have had the blessing of God on him. And what do we know about the blessing of the Lord?
It makes rich.
Oh, but that doesn't apply to Jesus. Yes, it does apply to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was a rich man. See, that sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? Sounds a little wrong. And you're going to say that during Christmas? Jesus was a rich man. Jesus came from heaven and came into a body, a man's body, right? We understand this. This is Christmas. And he was rich. From that point on, I'm going to take you to all of these verses of scripture and show it to you. Aren't you glad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could use some scriptures here, brother. So he became a man. We see that in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. He became a man. He didn't become a curse. Did it say that? When he came into the earth, he became the curse for you. When did he become the curse? Because he did become the curse. He bore the curse. He bore the sin. He bore the poverty in that verse of scripture we just read on the cross. Thank you. You graduate. Well, you don't have to turn here, but in Luke chapter 52, Luke 2:52, it says that Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What happens when somebody's in favor with God and man? They're blessed. What do we know about the blessing? The blessing makes rich.
That's right.
He always would have been the head, not the tail. What is that? The blessing. You suppose Jesus was the head of his class? How could he not be? He's Jesus. Are you here? Is that a blessing or a curse?
Well, a curse, because then you got to give speeches.
No, it's a blessing. The head, not the tail. It's part of the blessing. Jesus was blessed. He lived faultlessly under the law, and if you obeyed the law to the T, you got blessed. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Jesus is the epitome of that. He did that. That's what he was doing in his life. He wasn't bearing the atonement his whole life in sin and sick. Was Jesus sick his whole life?
No.
First time you open up in the scriptures, he was sniffling and had a hanky in his hand. He was weakly and sickly. He was a snotty man. No. See, people will quote this from online. You said that. No, I said Jesus is rich, was rich, is rich. You suppose Jesus is rich now? He went from riches to more riches. But when he came here, he didn't come to rags. He only bore the rags on the cross. That's where the atonement took place. All right. So when did he become a curse? On the cross, Galatians chapter 3, we're real close. Just go over to Galatians. I suppose you could gallivant over there. Galatians chapter 3, is this any good?
Yes.
It should be doing something to you. Galatians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Through his whole life? No, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Amen. What was the tree?
The cross.
So when did he bear the curse? When was he made a curse for us? On the cross. Up until that point, he was blessed. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yeah.
And if he's blessed, he's rich. Mm-hmm. If he's blessed, he's righteous. Do I need to take you to all the verses of scripture to say the righteous shall thrive, right? The righteous shall be blessed, even including financially. Jesus was the epitome of all of that. Are you still here?
Yes.
So here it says Jesus was made it. Now, 1 Peter, well, you guys are fast at flipping, so let's go over to Peter. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2 and 24. Does that sound like something you know?
Yeah.
First Peter 2, 24. When did Jesus bear our sins? When did Jesus bear the curse? First Peter 2, 24. Who his own self bear our sins his whole life. Is that what it says?
No,
he lived in righteousness. Who his own self bear our sins. Say our sins.
Our sins.
Is that good news? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In his own body on the tree. When did he bear your sins? In his body on the tree. That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Are you getting this? This is atonement. He didn't live an atoning life. He lived a spotless life so he could make the atonement for you.
That's right.
Are you here?
Yeah.
Who his own self bear our sins. That's me. See, you can put that in there. I can go, his own self bear my sins in his own body. Did he do that?
Yeah.
Say, the Lord Jesus,
bore
the pastor's sins. Isn't that nice? Oh, and yours too. Fine. Right? You got to personalize scripture. You got to take them for yourself. It's no good for me to go, oh, see, that's for you. No, you got to take it for yourself. Does it do you any good not to take anything for yourself?
No.
You know, there's roast beef sandwiches on the table. And you're like, no, I don't want a roast beef sandwich. But there's one for you, and you didn't take it. Did it do you any good?
No.
You have roast beef sandwich?
No.
Are you here?
Yeah.
All right, you got to take it for yourself. Anyway, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree? When? On the tree. That we being, did Jesus, his whole life, live it on a tree?
No.
Okay, then fine. Then he did not live an atoning life. He lived a sinless life so he could bear your sins on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here?
Yeah.
Being dead to sins, we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Who was healed? You were. I were. Get it?
Yes.
All right. When did this happen? On the tree. When did he bear the sins? On the cross. So for people to say that Jesus lived an atoning life is pure and utter foolishness. Do you see this?
Yes.
Was Jesus sick all the time? Was Jesus poor all the time?
No.
Jesus didn't have a way to get out and do anything all the time. Wrong. Yes, he left heaven. He became a man. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Let's see Jesus entering into the earth. Wouldn't that be good? Matthew chapter 1. And of course, Jesus left heaven, came into earth. It would require a different lifestyle, to say the least. But it doesn't mean he was poor. So Jesus entered the earth. Let's read some of this. And Merry Christmas. Let's look at verse 18, Matthew chapter 1. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found with child of who? The Holy Ghost. Don't get me started. Because I can preach Holy Ghost from just about any verse of Scripture. Why? Because we're in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. It all points to him now. Found with child of the Holy Ghost. Let's see, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public, with an extra K, example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Did the Holy Ghost have anything to do with Christmas and the birth of Jesus? I dare say it wouldn't happen without him. Mm-hmm. Right? Salvation doesn't happen without him. Nothing happens without the Holy Ghost, in, especially in our dispensation. Is that too loud? Probably a little too loud. Are you here?
Yes.
Because we're in the Holy Ghost dispensation. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, just a quick aside here, if you want to think about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Old Testament would have been the Father's dispensation. What about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Jesus. In general, Jesus's dispensation. Then from the book of Acts onward, Holy Ghost dispensation. Where are we now? Holy Ghost dispensation. Who's God in the earth today? Holy Ghost. Who's the one with whom we have to do? Holy Ghost. Who do you wake up with and walk with every day by speaking words? Holy Ghost. You got to get it straight. So where did I leave off here? I was going to read more of this. 20. While he thought on of her, is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. For he shall save his people from their sins. His whole life. Is that what it says? No. Verse 22. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. Now who the Lord right there? It was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Who would have spoke that? We know the Holy Ghost is the one who says these things, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, you start seeing the Holy Ghost everywhere. Mm-hmm. Behold, 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Mm-hmm. Jesus' dispensation. Are you here? Who was God with us when Jesus was here? Jesus. That's why they walked around with him, hung out with him, because where else were they going to go? And he said, when I go, I'm going to send another. Another what? Another God with you. Are you here? Which being interpreted is God with us, verse 24. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Go, Joseph. Right? Obedient to the word of the Lord. Let's read on. And now, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, I've heard several different things that it took, but either way, you can understand, they didn't just jump on a jet and get over there that day. Are you here?
Yes.
They, in fact, they were looking at time based on stars, right? And stars don't move real fast, right? They do. You might want to duck.
You're right.
but they were basing their clock on, and it took them a long time. Some of the people I've read on said it took them up to 3 months to get there. Say 3 months.
3 months.
And wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Why would they come to worship him? Because he's God in the earth that day. Are you here?
Yes.
Where are we in our day? Holy Ghost, we should be worshiping him. Where did I leave off? Come to worship him. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, and thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Mm-hmm. Right? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." Yeah, right. He wasn't going to do that, was he? And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, say their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Mm-hmm. Part of worship is bringing your gifts. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that?
Yes.
They worshiped him. Say they worshiped him.
and brought him gifts.
Worship, and you'll see that throughout all the scriptures. Worship giving is part of worship. So anyway, here we have the kings, right? Now, here's picture this. You got Jesus. He's a baby. Now, I won't have you turn there, but you know that in Luke 2 verse 4 it says there's no room for him in the inn. Remember that? Mm-hmm. They came into town because they came to pay their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
They pay their taxes.
Pay their taxes.
Why would he come? He must have made money to pay taxes, right? He would have brought some money with him to pay the tax.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He said there was no room for them in the inn. Why? Because there were so many people there, not because they couldn't afford it.
Right. There was no rooms for them in the inns, so they had to sleep in a bucket.
They knew there was no room for him in the inn. Why? Because they went to the inn expecting there to be a room, and there was none.
Right.
Are you here?
Yes.
How'd they know there was no room? Because they went there looking for a room.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't so poor, they had no room. They wanted to buy a room. There was none. And thankfully, they had some favor. Say favor.
Favor
with the innkeeper, who said, "I tell you what we can do. You look like you're pregnant." Not you, but you know, he's talking to Mary. You get in trouble saying that sometimes.
Yeah.
Talking to Mary, you know, and so I tell you what we can do. We can put you in the stable. You know, a lot of people used to sleep in stables, even hired hands and what. It was not such a bad deal. It was warm. It was out of the elements.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here?
Yes.
Which would you rather be, outside in the elements or in a stable? In a stable. So they were blessed.
Yeah.
So let's read on here. And he said in verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." These are the kings and the wise men, and they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, very expensive items. When did this happen? As soon as Jesus was born. He was still there in the manger. You think they stayed there for like 3 years?
No.
Lived in the
no.
Jesus says, I'm gonna go and do this from heaven, and before, say before,
before
he even comes that does this or is born, there's wise men being moved upon to bring him money. Mm-hmm. So in heaven he's like, hey, you know, if I go do this, I'm gonna need some money. You ever say that? You say, if I'm gonna do this, I need some money. Well, here's Jesus being born. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yeah.
He's being born, and God's already sent people to support him and to supply him with money and gold. That was some of the best money you could get.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Canadian money or anything like that. It was
real gold.
It was real gold.
Amen.
Right?
Sure.
Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
Was Jesus poor?
No.
Not for if you were considering the space of time of like weeks, maybe at the most, why would they stay in the stable for weeks? They wouldn't. But even a few days, that would only be it, because right after that, kings. You think kings are gonna bring it here, here's a gold nugget, and flick it at you?
No.
It wouldn't be honorable to them. They need to give in the manner in which it means something to them.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
So after that day, do you suppose Joseph was a poor man?
No.
How about Mary?
Yeah.
Also poor, and very poor. No, they're blessed of God, so blessed of God that money came from half across the earth and came to them. Are you good? So then we see, I'm just trying to track Jesus here. Was he a poor man? Did he live a life of atoning for, you know, by being poor, he atoned for your poverty?
No.
He didn't live a life like that. Obviously, from that day, they would have had, because we see later on here, I won't read it all, but then Herod started chasing them all over the place. So Joseph really couldn't even work, right?
Right.
Normal job. They had to travel from here, travel to there, live in hotels, live in this other place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that cost money? They were provided for. Well, they needed that money. God knew they needed the money, and it came to them right away. And then you go on, you see that Jesus isn't poor, yet no poor man turns water into wine, right? Feeding 5,000, 10,000 people. How would you, the next time you go to the cafeteria where there's 10,000 people there, I got it, fish and chips for everybody, 10,000 people. So you go into Disney World and you say, I'm paying for everybody's lunch today. No poor man feeds 5,000, 10,000 people or more. I mean, there are other estimates, this with women and children, 20,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
You know how people eat when it's free food? They eat more than they normally do.
Right.
And he sinks a boat with fishes. Who does that? Poor people? No. So you understand this. Now, so he had supernatural. Supernatural prosperity. Because even with their denarii, when they said, oh, are we gonna go buy bread for all of these people? Jesus said, no, that's not gonna cover it. We'll do it this way. We'll use my card. Right? My supernatural card. Say supernatural,
supernatural
card. You gotta use your supernatural card. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 53:9 says, even with the rich, when he was buried with the rich. So at the beginning of his life, kings brought him presents. That's not poor. Then he lived his life supernaturally, and at the end of his life, after the atonement. After the atonement, he was on the tree for a little while, and a rich man came along and then gave him his grave.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 27. See, we're in Matthew at the beginning. We're just trying to see whether Jesus was rich, because he was rich, but he was made poor. Mm-hmm. When was he rich? Here,
mm-hmm,
and there. Yeah. But he was made poor on the cross so that you would be rich. It's atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Is there wealth in the atonement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there healing in the atonement? Yeah. Is there forgiveness of sins in the atonement? It's where we get all our stuff from, right? And if you deny the riches, then you can't have them. If you deny the healing, like many people do, I can't, you know, it's just so far from me now. And I say, oh, there's healing in the atonement, and people's eyes glaze over and they start to get angry. It's like, what Bible do you read? Right? Anyway. But that's part of where this whole Jesus was rich in heaven and came and lived a poor life. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just not true. It makes no sense. So Matthew, did I tell you that? Matthew, see if I can end this up. Matthew 27. And let's look at verse 57. And when the evening was come, this is after Jesus bore the sins and the poverty and the sickness, right? When the evening was come, there was a rich man, say a rich man, of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Could there be rich people that are Jesus' disciple?
Yes.
What he's going to do here, he wouldn't be able to do if he didn't have it already. Right. You understand? 58. And when he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb. Say, his own new tomb. He was a rich man. He had a new tomb, and he gave it. Now, I don't know if you've, you know, researched private stone mausoleums recently, but they're quite expensive, right? Mm-hmm. Some people work their whole life to be able to bury, to be buried in something like that. Mm-hmm. But Jesus, it just came to him.
Right.
Say, Jesus, it just came to him.
It just came to him.
Buried with the rich in his death. Not a rich sinner, a rich disciple of Jesus. Are you here? Mm-hmm. So from his birth all the way to his death, he was with the rich. He said, the poor you'll have with you, but you won't have me always with you. Mm. Did you get that?
Yep.
Who did he associate with?
Yeah.
The rich. With the kings, not with the poor. He helped the poor.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help the poor if you're one of them. Jesus was rich and then bore your poverty so that you would be rich. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So right after the atonement, right after the death on the cross, he went. Say he went.
Went.
Right back to being rich again.
Yeah.
Couldn't stay off of him. The blessing was on him. That's what the Bible said about the blessing. It'd be on you. Buried with the rich. Are you getting this? So if you remember our text in 2 Corinthians, we're wrapping it up now. Second Corinthians, glory be to God forever, chapter 8. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, where was he rich? Is this talking about being in heaven?
No.
Was he rich? Well, yes, he was rich. Yes, he was rich there, but that's not what this is talking about. He was rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Though he was rich, say Jesus was rich.
Jesus was rich.
It's important that you understand that. Jesus was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Why did he become poor? For your sakes. That means he bore your poverty. That you, through his bearing that poverty, might be rich. Say, I am rich.
I am rich.
Why are you rich? Because Jesus bore the poverty. He made me rich. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So why did Jesus come? to bear your poverty, to bear your sickness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When sickness comes and tries to knock on the door, what do you say? Well, come on in, Mr. Sickness. Get all over me. Is that what you say?
No.
No, you say, no, you stay outside. I am healed. Sickness cannot stay in my body. Say that. I am healed. Sickness cannot stay in my body. What does that make you? You're the healed. Why? Because Jesus bore your sickness. We know this about righteousness. You know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you're so good? No. We're righteousness of God because he bore our sins. Does this make sense? Why are you rich? Because you're so good and so good looking and so talented? Same reason. Same atonement. Say, I'm rich. Because Jesus... bore my poverty. All right, so are you getting this? You think people would be more excited about this than they are, but you know, believe me, you get these kind of things up online and you have haters. They look for people that say these kind of things and they like to hate on them. I guess they don't have anything better to do. So John 10:10, why did Jesus come? You don't have to turn there, you know this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, right?
Yes.
And have it just enough until you die. Is that what he said?
No.
He'd probably have a lot less followers if he said that. He said, I've come that you might have it more abundantly. The actual words there means more than enough. That's abundantly. You have enough, you have more than enough, but you have more than enough. Why did Jesus come? That you might have life and have it more than enough. I like to say it that way. Mm-hmm. So how? By the atonement, and then by, of course, receiving the Holy Ghost, which we didn't get a lot into today, but he is the promise. He's the one that we're in, that's in the earth today, and he's the one that we walk with. What do we walk with him? In all of the things that Jesus bought and paid for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Go to John real quick. John chapter 7. Verse 37, in the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now remember, this is Jesus in his dispensation, God with them, right? He said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water if you believe on him. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And in the Holy Ghost are all the promises of God, all the blessings of God, all the way that we walk out all of these things that Jesus bought and paid for. Have I shown you that Jesus bought and paid for your sins?
Yes.
Then why are you living in them? Right? Jesus bought and paid for your sickness and disease. Why are you living in them? Jesus bought and paid for poverty. Why would you live in it? Are you here? Well, the key to living outside of those things is the Holy Ghost. I came to give you life. He gave the Holy Ghost. Are you here?
Yes.
So he said you got to receive the Holy Ghost. So let's just do a litmus test. You know what a litmus test is? Litmus test has to do with chemistry, right? It's to decide. Sometimes you have a little litmus piece of paper, right? Mm-hmm. And you can test whether something's acidic or alkaline, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a litmus test, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll talk about it, you know, maybe with a politician or something. We'll try to see, well, do you believe in abortion? Because if you do, then I'm not voting for it, right? There's a litmus. It's something that we're gonna check to see whether you're okay or not.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all right with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be scared. We're going to check to see if you're okay or not. It's a litmus test. Proof that you're the real deal. So go to 1 Timothy. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You ready? 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Charge them that are rich in this world. Now, the first thing that came to your mind, litmus test. Did you think about somebody else when I read that verse of scripture? Charge them that are rich in this world. Did you go, oh yeah, those rich people, you should charge them something? Is that what you're thinking? Or did you immediately go, yes, I need to be careful that I be not high-minded or trust in uncertain riches? Because you're the rich. You're the one he's talking about here. Jesus was made poor that you would be made rich. Litmus test, this verse of scripture. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Am I stuttering somehow or something? Do you see what's happening here? Charge them that are rich in this world. You should immediately assume he's talking about you because you're rich in this world. And guess what that word rich means? It means rich. Opposite of poor. Would he be talking about us? Would he be talking about you?
Yes,
yes. I'm rich. Say, I'm rich.
I'm rich.
And you need to not be high-minded. You need to go, okay, well, I better not be high-minded or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Who's that?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, who gives you richly all things to enjoy. Guess what the word richly is? It's the same word with a li at the end. Who gives you richly all things to enjoy. Holy Ghost, you're rich. You got the Holy Ghost. He's giving you rich things. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if the first thing you thought of was somebody else instead of yourself, when he talks about rich people, that's the litmus test. And if you did, you need to keep working at it. Keep working at it. Take some of these scriptures I brought up today. Renew your mind with it until you start thinking like the rich person that God made you, that Jesus bought and paid for. Are you here?
Yes.
Jesus was made poor so that you would be made rich. Was Jesus made poor? Then you would be made rich. What does that make you now? Rich. Whether you feel like it or look like it, that's your standing. Mm-hmm. All right, litmus test. Did you get anything out of that?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 10:22 says the blessing of the Lord makes rich, he adds no sorrow with it. Are you blessed of the Lord?
Yes.
Is the blessing on you?
Mm-hmm.
Then what are you? Rich with no sorrows added to it.
Amen.
Say, I'm rich.
I'm
with no sorrows,
no sorrows
added to me. Litmus test. You believe these things. It should be automatic. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it takes a while to get there. It's, you have to renew your mind, according to Romans 12:1-2. 3 John 2 says, I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, which means your soul has to start thinking the right way about yourself. I'm rich.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23:7. And if not, if you're not thinking that way, then keep at it. Why? If Jesus bought and paid for it, then you need to start thinking and calling yourself that way. That's how we walk with the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just going to share this other one, and just because I want you to see the idea of this litmus test. Go to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4. Are you still here?
Mm-hmm.
Got real quiet. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You still here?
Mm-hmm.
Let no man despise thy what? Thy youth. When you read that, who was he talking to? Your youth. Are you here? I'm not sure you're getting this. Despise means to speak little of, to think little of, to put down at a lower level, to you know. What does it say? Let no man. Now, who, and that could include you, couldn't it? But be thou an example of the believers. Do believers believe in youth renewal?
Yeah.
Is youth renewal in the atonement? Mm-hmm. I'll take you to one verse of scripture, but youth renewal is in the atonement. It's included in the atonement. Forget not all these benefits. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Forgive all your sins, healed all your disease. Renews your youth. It's one of the benefits. Let no man... Say, no man,
no man
despise thy youth. It's part of who you are. One of you get it later. Glory be to God forever. To despise means to think down on, to make little of. You know, you might talk about youth renewal and then people would poo-poo it. Just like you might talk about, you know, healing in the atonement, people would poo-poo it. You might talk about prosperity in the atonement. People would poo-poo it, right? What if you talk about youth renewal? You think people will poo-poo that?
Mm-hmm.
People like to poo-poo things.
Yeah.
Right? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of a believer. Are you here? Now, if I'm an example of a believer, what am I going to be living in?
Renewal.
Youth renewal. Righteousness?
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Healing? Deal with it. Prosperity? I believe it? Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Youth renewal.
Amen.
God's renewing my youth right now.
Yeah.
Are you here? Are you seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
Litmus test. When you think of a young person... Oh, I know some of you don't have a problem. I am a young person. But do you understand? This would apply to you on the other side of this.
Mm.
Still be an example. But the point is, the litmus test here is when you read it, when you see it, what strikes your mind first? When you put the litmus test, when you put the litmus paper in, what color does it turn?
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm young.
I'm young.
My youth is renewed.
Let no man
despise my youth.
Despise my youth.
Including yourself. See, that was good. You still here? Are you just mad at me now? Let no man, and that includes you. Job 33:25 says, I have found a ransom. I have found an atonement. Are you here? It's what many translations say, and lots of, you know, indexes will say that too. I have found an atonement. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's and shall return to what? The days of his youth. Do you despise that? Do you despise that verse of scripture? Or is that for you? Anyway. Okay, well, until that happens, until that's the first thing that comes up, then you need to renew your mind with the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes some effort. You got to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because
mm-hmm.
I tell you, you weren't brought up that way in church, where, oh yeah, you guys are wealthy. You got to flip it. No, you're getting old. No, I'm getting younger. Litmus test. And you keep at it. Now, if Jesus bought and paid for it, you should be living in it, and we live in it by the Holy Ghost. You understand that? But if he bought and paid for it, did Jesus buy and pay for your sins?
Yes.
Yes. So you should be living in the righteousness of God. Did he buy and pay for your sicknesses and diseases?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Merry Christmas. You should be living in healing and health. Did he buy and pay for your poverty?
Mm-hmm.
He was made poor so that you would be rich. Say, I'm rich.
I'm rich.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm the righteousness of God.
I'm the righteousness of God.
Did he buy and pay for your youth to be renewed?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Say, my youth is renewed.
My youth is renewed.
I'm a young man. I'm a young lady. Whichever you are. Don't say you're a young man if you're a young lady. Are you here?
Yes.
Is this any good?
Uh-huh.
Glory be to God forever. So we were going to take up our offering, and if you have one, an offering or tithe, and you want to hold it in your hand, I like to do it, and I'm going to have you confess this over it. Say, Holy Ghost,
I thank you
that you are God in the earth today, and that I am the righteousness of God.
I am
healed by Jesus' stripes.
I am
rich because Jesus was made poor for me, and my youth is renewed right now in Jesus'
name.
I ask you to bless my finances, and I ask you to prosper me in the way that a rich person should be prospered. Thank you, Holy Ghost, in Jesus'
name.
Amen.